All right, if you would, and you want to follow along, please turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And for the purpose of time, I'm going to start in verse 3. If any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmising, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. I'm going to stop right there. The title of this is Doctrine According to Godliness. So, again, we're talking about doctrine. Isn't it great? I know some people don't like doctrine. Wait a second, let me clarify that. Some people don't like true doctrine. Some people hate true doctrine. I've heard them say, in person and broadcasted over the radio, I don't need doctrine, or they'll say, I don't have doctrine. I have Christ. Well, I got something to tell you. No, you don't. Because there's no way to separate Jesus Christ from his doctrine. And there's no way to separate Jesus Christ's doctrine from himself. It's not possible. Because I'm talking about his doctrine. I'm talking about true doctrine. I'm talking about Bible doctrine. Oh, I believe Bible doctrine. Yeah, they do. Until you read it to them. It's the way it works. You know? All you have to do to get anyone to deny the Bible is read it to them. And they'll say, that doesn't mean that. Or I don't believe that. That's the way they are. Because that's the way I was. But I'm not talking about the commandments of men given for doctrine. I'm not talking about your doctrine. I'm not talking about my doctrine unless it agrees with this doctrine. Jesus Christ, according to the apostles, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you can look it up if you want. He astonished people with what? His doctrine. That's the word. He astonished people with his sound teaching. Now to them, they thought it was something new. It's not. You know, there was a fellow, one of the Jews said, what is this new doctrine? He speaks as one having an authority. That wasn't a doctrine. That was Christ. And his doctrine is this. He has all power. In heaven and in earth, and even while he was walking on this earth in that body, he was God. Paul uses the word doctrine 23 times in his epistles. I looked this up again. And there's an amazing thing I found when I was doing this. The word doctrine throughout all the New Testament, and I didn't check it too much in the Old Testament, but I'm pretty sure it's probably true there. But in the New Testament, every time Paul used the word doctrine, he used it in the singular. You know why? Jesus Christ only has one doctrine. That's an amazing thing. Because he did use it three times in the plural. Guess what? He used it once as the doctrines of men, plural. He used it once as the doctrines of devils. That's twice. Plural. And then he also used it in the word of diverse and strange doctrines. Guess what? He was against all three. Because there is only one doctrine. I'll point this out for free. Hebrews chapter, where did I have that? Oh, I think I didn't mark it. Oh, yeah, Hebrews chapter 6. That's what it was. Now, I'm not going to go into this verse, but when I read this, I just marveled at it. It says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine, singular, of Christ, that's all there is, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine, singular, of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. But it's one doctrine. One doctrine. Singular. The doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and the eternal judgment. That's part of the doctrine of Jesus Christ. Singular. Singular. Now, I will say, just because I read that, he's not talking about leaving them away, leaving them behind. He's saying, leave them there as the foundation, and we're going on from there. You understand, you got to have milk before you have meat. You got to have a foundation before you can understand what's built on that foundation. Anyway, Paul uses it 23 times in his epistle. And what I see here is that Jesus Christ only has one doctrine, singular. Now, verse 1 of 1 Timothy 6 does say this. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine not be blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, don't despise them. Why? Because they're brethren. If you've got a believing master, you treat him as a brethren. Guess what? That's part of the flock. You're both parts of the same flock. This goes for employers nowadays. Now, I'm not going to tell you here, I don't believe Paul is endorsing slavery. But Paul is instructing and endorsing believers. Right. Believers. In this letter, its letter is to Timothy. He is endorsing and instructing Timothy on how to behave. Bond or free, slave or master, old or young, male or female. It's important that what? The name of God and his doctrine not be blasphemed. Not be blasphemed. But we come to verse 3. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. That phrase just struck me. This is where I want to go in. This is where I want to, because let me tell you what I see in this verse overall. In this verse overall, I see a definition of doctrine, and I also see a definition of the gospel. Because here's something else you can't do. You can't separate the gospel from his doctrine. And you can't separate his doctrine from his gospel. There's one gospel, there's one doctrine, and they are intricately concerned. In some ways, they're the same thing. Because without doctrine, there is no gospel. And without the gospel, doctrine's of no value. You can't preach doctrine, true doctrine, without preaching Jesus Christ. And you can't preach Jesus Christ without preaching true doctrine. Because the gospel is doctrine. And the doctrine is good news. The doctrine of our Lord Jesus Christ is good news to the believer. Because the gospel is wholesome words. The gospel are the words of Christ, Jesus himself. And the gospel is the doctrine which is according to godliness. Now that word godliness, we'll get to it after a bit. But what it means is piety. That's the definition, through Strong. Piety toward God. There are a lot of people who pretend to be pious. But that doesn't mean they have a piety toward God. Because in order to have a piety toward God, you have to know who he is. Now, ain't that something? Oh, there are a lot of people who we think, you know, or they put on an air of piety, put on an air of humility. But true humility is toward God and Jesus Christ. But the first thing I do want to mention here is wholesome words. Wholesome words. Notice carefully. One doctrine, many words. One doctrine, many words. What's that like? Well, there's one gospel, there's many words. All of the words of his doctrine are wholesome. What's that mean? That means they're whole. They are not ill. There's nothing sick in the gospel. The gospel is what? Good news. His doctrine is good news. Now, whether or not you perceive it as good news, that's not the question. It's good news whether we know it or not. It's good news whether we understand it or not. The doctrine which is according to godliness is wholesome words. No ills. I'm going to tell you this. The words of the Old Testament are wholesome. And the words of the New Testament are wholesome. And then it says the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, my goodness. What did our Lord Jesus Christ say? Now, if you ask that to anybody else, they'll say, oh, I know, John 3:16. And that's true. That's true. He said it. But he also said John 3:19. John 3:18. They don't want to read. That's one of them things. If you read that part to them, they don't like it. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And I believe that with all my heart. But it doesn't deal with whosoever doesn't believe. But Christ didn't leave that unsaid.
Right, he did.
He had a doctrine. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And that's glorious. He that believeth on him is not condemned. Rejoice. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Rejoice. Rejoice. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light. That's what Jesus Christ said. And that's what Jesus Christ meant. Why? Because their deeds were evil. Their deeds were evil. What other things did Jesus Christ say? John chapter 4 and verse 22. He told a woman, ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. John chapter 5, our Lord Jesus Christ said this, and ye will not come to me, that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men. but I know you. These are the people he's talking to. That ye have not the love of God in you. Let's see, John chapter 8, I think it was. Because this is a tough one. This is some of the stuff you can read to people and they won't believe it. I'll tell you that right now. What manner of saying is it? Oh, no, I'm sorry. That was ye shall seek me. This is John 8, verse 34. Ye shall seek me and shall not find me. Where I am, thither ye cannot come. I thought Jesus wanted everybody to come to him. You might have thought wrong.
Right. Right.
Yeah. You might have thought wrong. Oh, my. What did he tell those one fellas? I thought I had it marked in here. I know I do somewhere, but I'm not finding it. Oh, here it is. I'm sorry. I wasn't far enough along. John chapter 8 and verse 43. He says, why do you not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. You understand? You will not come to me that you might have life. And ye cannot hear my word. Jesus Christ spoke both of those things, and both of them are true. But he didn't stop there. Ye cannot hear my word. There was a reason why. And he said this, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He's the father of a lie, and you lie. Wait a minute, you're just reading the bad stuff. I am. What we think might be bad. What people will think is bad. But listen, those words I just read are according the doctrine according to godliness. Because they are the doctrine of our Lord Jesus Christ. As men, natural men, we don't like that. But here's the problem. The problem's not that we don't like that. The problem is, as natural men, we don't like him. They tried to kill him. And you know why? Because they wanted him dead. Oh, nobody tried to kill Christ. Y'all ain't reading the Bible, if that's what you think. Our Lord Jesus Christ preached the gospel and he preached doctrine. Look at just for a second, John chapter 7. I skipped over this on purpose to come back to it here. John chapter 7 and verse 16, Jesus Christ answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. You understand? If you want to do the will of God, if you want to know God, you got to know whether Christ was saying what God said. Well, he did. Because here's another word that Jesus Christ said. The words of Jesus Christ. Wholesome words. I and my Father are one. That is so true. And I'm going to tell you, this is also true. I, my doctrine, and my Father's doctrine are one. Perfectly one. So perfectly one that we can't understand it. Christ's doctrine and the Father's doctrine are exactly the same. What else? Christ's gospel and God's gospel are exactly the same. There's only one gospel, and there's only one doctrine. And that is the doctrine which is according to godliness. That's what it says in Timothy. Like I said, that phrase just got a hold of me. The doctrine according to godliness. So what is it? Well, I remembered that I was reading 1 Timothy. So go back a page to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. He says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." I just wanted to read that. I love that verse. Because the house of God is built by God. But here it tells us, the house of God is the church of the living God. That's what got me thinking about that, Walter, that assembly thing. We need to be assembled. We need it. We need it. We gather together. Why? Because we need to. We, as believers, together, all of us everywhere, are the church of God. Jesus Christ is our head. We are his body. We're meant to be together. Like I said, we need an assembly mentality. Just like shepherd and the sheep, doesn't matter, even if you are by yourself, the sheep, that sheep, you, me, whoever, has a shepherd, has the good shepherd. But he is also, where does the shepherd resort with his sheep? To what? To feed them in pastures of love. Say why in the valley of death do I weep? Say why? Because I'm not paying attention to the fact that my shepherd has me exactly where I need to be. And he's watching over me. But we need to gather together, the church. We are the house of God. That just amazes me. The pillar and ground of the truth. The house of God is built by God on and by his truth. What? His doctrine and his gospel. His wholesome words. And on the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because without Jesus Christ's doctrine, without his truth, without his gospel, it's not a church. It's not a church. But look here at verse 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. The doctrine which is according to godliness. The mystery of godliness is a person. Is the man, Christ Jesus. Is the Son of God. He's the mystery of godliness. Can I say this? He is our godliness. He is our piety toward God. It's not my piety toward God. That's as broken as I am. It's not my piety. It's not my godliness. It's his godliness. He's the mystery of godliness. He is God, and he is godliness to each and every one of us. And the doctrine which is according to godliness has got to be a doctrine which is according to Christ Jesus, the Lord. It's his wholesome words. And it's his exact words. The words of his prophets here are his words. And they're wholesome. The words he gave us himself. The words his apostles gave us in the epistles. And he himself is our Lord. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. His. He is the godliness. And this is the doctrine according to Jesus Christ. That what? God was manifest in the flesh. Justified in the Holy Spirit. The gospel and the doctrine are both according to godliness. Because they are Jesus Christ's gospel and they are Jesus Christ's doctrine. The doctrine of godliness is of the Lord, the Redeemer, the Justifier, the Reconciler, the Sanctifier. The doctrine according to godliness is according to the power and the wisdom of God himself. He is our piety toward God. I like that. I like that thought. I worry about humility, Walter. I worry about being humble. I know I'm nothing before God, but I don't know if I can project that. You understand? There are what is, and then there are appearances. And we are to avoid the very appearance of evil. I want to do that. But here's the thing. I want to be pious toward God. I want to reverence toward God. I want to revere God. I want to praise God. And I can't the way I should. But he can. He can. That's the doctrine according to godliness. Jesus Christ not only has done it all, he is doing it all. Salvation is of the Lord. And his is an eternal salvation. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Why? Because of the doctrine which is according to godliness. Because of the Christ who is our godliness. What does it say? I mean, this is where Paul, and you understand, this is instructions to a young preacher, but it is instructions to every believer. You understand? This, Walter, this is one of those things I call a litany. What happens if you don't have or won't consent to, it says, wholesome words or the words of Christ? Or this doctrine which is according to Christ, according to godliness. What happens? Verse 4. He is proud. He is proud, prideful, full of pride, puffed up, blind with conceit. And guess what? You cannot tell them any different because they're too proud. And the reason I know this, I used to be right there. Then it says what? Knowing nothing. Understanding nothing. What don't you understand? Well, you don't understand wholesome words. You don't understand the words of Christ. And you don't understand the doctrine according to godliness. Oh. I like what, I think it was, Strong said, it says, you know, nobody, no one, and no thing. That's what that word means. That pretty much encompasses it all. Because here's the thing. If you don't know this, the wholesome words, the words of Christ, and the doctrine according to godliness, you don't even know yourself. Right. I've been there. There's a picture of ignorance right there. No one, nobody, no how, and nothing. You don't even know yourself. He is comprehending nothing of the true God manifest in the flesh. And it says what? Doting about questions and strifes of words. So I'll throw this in. Wait a minute. We talk about questions. And we talk about words. I do in particular. That's true. I do think of questions. But here's the thing. I love the way that Paul wrote this. The guy's doting about questions. He's not looking for answers.
Right.
Because I'm telling you this, I've been there. They don't think there is an answer. They get hung up on the questions. And they don't think there is an answer. But here's the thing. We ask questions from this pulpit. But I know the answer. The answer is Jesus Christ. They fight about words. The word, I looked this up, the word where it says doting about question, they said, it's a Strong's Concordance, not me. That means you got a diseased appetite for questions. That's all they want. They want questions. One question, what is it they said about the Athenians, people from Athens, the Greeks? They love to hear and speak some new thing. They doted about questions and didn't care about an answer. Strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmising. I don't want envy, strife, railings, or evil surmising. I'm looking for brethren. Because they're brethren. What did Paul write in verse 2? It said, faithful and beloved. This man loves perverse disputings. Not just disputings, perverse disputings. You know what that is? Useless arguments. You understand? There is a reason for arguments sometimes. There is a reason for polemics. But there's no reason for useless arguments. They're perverse disputes which are of absolutely no value. Even if you got an answer, it wouldn't do you any good. Those without wholesome words, without the words of Jesus Christ, and without the gospel and doctrine, which is according to godliness, are without Christ. But godliness with contentment is great gain. What's that mean? Be content with Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You don't have to be content with me.
Right.
You don't have to be content with each other. Although I would recommend it. Because trust me, you got as many shortcomings as I got. But here, if you're content with Christ, you will be content with his sheep.
Yeah.
If you're content with Christ, it makes everything better. It makes everything livable. Even in a shack, a little house with a blue tarp over it.
Yeah.
It's all you got. It's what God gave you. If you're content with Christ, you'll live there.
Yeah.
It's tough to do some days. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Yes, be good. Yes, avoid evil. Yes, avoid even the appearance of evil. Yes, walk uprightly. Yes, praise God. Rejoice in his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Sing of him. Sing praises unto him. love the brethren, and be content. Because this is what Paul gives us, this list, this litany here of people who will not have the doctrine according to godliness, who won't have wholesome words, who will not have even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, if you read them to them. Because here it is. All they have left is pride, uncertainty, questions without answers, strife and envy and railings and arguments that are useless. They have corrupt minds. What does it say? Destitute. This is the thing. If you're destitute of the truth, Jesus Christ is the truth. If you're destitute of the truth, you're destitute of Jesus Christ. This is all they have. What do I do? Here's a tough one. Withdraw thyself. That's what he said. That's what he wrote to Timothy. He knew Timothy. He taught Timothy. He sent Timothy where he sent him. Withdraw thyself. What does it mean? Move away and stay away. What is it? Get out and stay out, Walter. Don't hang out. What is it? Remember, that pit from which you're digged, it doesn't ever say go back there. It says remember it.
Right.
Why? Remember it and stay away. And if these people are in a pit that was right next to you, stay away. Don't worry, they'll probably help. Because they might not want you around either. They are uncomfortable around those who know the doctrine which is according to godliness. They're uncomfortable around those who want to talk about Jesus Christ as he really is. They're uncomfortable by people who want to read the Bible out loud. They don't know Christ, and they don't want to know Christ. And it's your job to withdraw thyself. Come out from among them, and what? Be ye separate. Who? O ye, my people. My people. These are ungodly men. And guess what? They have ungodliness. There's a doctrine according to godliness. But there is an ungodliness in this world, and it's in men. The doctrine according to godliness is Christ Jesus, God manifest in the flesh. Because all godliness is in Christ Jesus. All of it. And Jesus Christ satisfies. He's our peace. He's our rest. And believers in him are to be content. Why? Because godliness with contentment is not just gain. It's great gain. Great gain. You know what? It's a great, you don't even understand it. It's a great, you can't really grasp it. But I tell you this, it is great enough for you to enjoy, if you will. Because he is our peace, and he is our rest, and he is our doctrine according to godliness. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Please be with us. As we disperse, when we do, and be with us throughout the week and gather us again later. And let us be in contact with each other. Your sheep, we all are. Be with Walter as he comes to preach your gospel. And we'll give you the honor and the glory through Christ our Lord. Amen.